And turn to Matthew chapter 8. We've been in Matthew chapter 8 for the last several weeks, and we're going to be there this morning and this evening. Exciting passage of scripture. You just see God working and doing some miraculous things. We're going to read from verse 19 to 27. The Bible says a certain scribe in verse 19 came. By the way, if you're using a Pew Bible, we'll be in page 709 of the Pew Bible. 709 of the Pew Bible, verse 19 of Matthew chapter 8. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. I'm going to talk about that tonight in the service. But I want you to see verses 23 through 27 this morning. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. The Lord is in the bottom of the ship, asleep. In the midst of a huge storm, his disciples are frightened and think they're going to lose their lives in this storm, and the Lord is there asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. They come praying that God will do something. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and this is an amazing statement. Now, if you grew up in church, you heard this all your life, but this is an amazing statement. I've been in windstorms before, and people say, Would you pray that the wind will stop? I say, It doesn't work for me. I've been in windstorms. I remember we were at Easter picnic. We had an Easter picnic, and the wind started up, and everybody said, just pray. And so I got up and I prayed, and the wind got stronger. And I mean, we were out in a place where there was dirt flying everywhere. It was our Easter picnic, and it was just an absolute mess. Weather prayers don't do well for me. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm not the master of the wind and the rain. This is an amazing thing. I don't know if you've ever been there, if you've been in the middle of a storm and thought, Lord, please take the... And wanted the storm to go away. The Bible says they came and they asked him, and the Bible says, and he arose and he rebuked the wind. Who looks at the wind and says, stop it? Who does that? I'll tell you who does that. Not like that. I'll tell you who does that. God. God says, stop blowing, and the wind says, stops. The Bible says he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Father, I pray in the next few minutes you'll help me to help your people to understand some truths about prayer. And I pray that we will become more of a praying church than we ever have before. I pray that we'll see miracles take place this month as a result of our prayers to you, an all-knowing and all-powerful God. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter is filled with miracles, and we've looked at them over the last several weeks. First of all, we saw in verses 1 through 4, this leper is healed of leprosy. And then we see that, and then we see that he heals a servant who was about to die. This servant's about to die, and the centurion comes and tells the Lord about him, and this servant is healed and doesn't die. Then Peter's mother-in-law, who prays for their mother-in-law, but Peter and James and John and Andrew comes, and the Bible says that Jesus healed this, a miracle. This is a miracle. And we talk about miracles, we read about them, but a miracle took place. And then there's demon-possessed people. Demon-possessed people, those are scary people. Demon-possessed people, and he heals many that are, he heals, the Bible says, those that were sick and those that were demon-possessed. This is miraculous. And then this story, this story we've just read this morning, it's an amazing story. They're out in the midst of a storm. They're right where Jesus wants them. Jesus is asleep, and they wake Jesus up, and they ask him to do something, and he rebukes the wind. This is miraculous. This is miraculous. Now, we have five miracles in front of us this morning. And there's one common thread amongst all of these miracles. One thing that unites all of these miracles. One thing that took place that caused these miracles to happen. And the one thing they have in common is that they are all answers to prayer. Every one of them are answers to prayer. We have a great God, and we have a bunch of weak people. We have a weak leper who prays for himself and says, if you would, I can't do anything for myself, but if you would, you could heal me. And Jesus heals him in answer to prayer. We have a centurion who wants his servant to be made well. He can't do anything about it. He can't do anything for, the leper could do nothing for himself. The centurion could do nothing for his friend. But he goes to Jesus and he prays to Jesus and Jesus answers the prayer. We have a sick woman, a mother-in-law who is sick and cannot serve. And you have Peter and James and John and Andrew going together and praying. And God hears and answers that prayer. We have demon-possessed people who can't even get to Jesus, but the Bible says their friends bring them to Jesus and pray that Jesus would take care of their needs, and Jesus heals the sick and casts out demons in answer to prayer. And you have some people who are afraid on a boat out in the middle of the sea. They can't do anything about it. No way to save themselves. And they call on Jesus. They pray. They ask Jesus for deliverance. And Jesus touches their body. Or Jesus stands up and he rebukes the wind and he speaks to the sea. And the sea stops and the wind stops and everything is fine. Lord, we perish. Save us. It's amazing. Prayer is the greatest tool for success that the Christian has in his possession. And yet many people just don't pray. Dr. Sumner Wimp traveled to over 1,500 churches. I heard him say this over and over again. I've traveled to over 1,500 churches, he would say. And he said, one year I decided I was just going to take time and survey these different churches and find out how often people pray, how much time people spend in prayer. He said, I believe this. He said, just from interviewing people, and he said it was not a professional survey, but he said, what I have come up with, I over and over and over asking churches, preachers, men in churches, how often do you pray? He said the average Christian, as far as he knew, prayed less than 5 minutes a day. Less than 5 minutes a day. Unless you get upset with somebody else, ask yourself the question, and I'm not here to condemn. But ask yourself, how much time do I spend using this powerful tool that God has given to me called prayer? How much time do you spend in prayer every single day, asking God to do something that you could not do yourself? The question today is, why don't people pray? Why don't people take time to pray? Why don't people go before the throne of God? If God is there on his throne saying, come to me and ask for anything, why don't people pray? Why don't they pray? I'm going to give you five answers real quick, and then we're going to respond to those five answers. Number one, I believe that people don't pray because people don't know what prayer is. I think that people don't know what prayer is. I think number two, that people don't know how to pray. People don't know how to pray. When I was a young man, I went to a, I went, first time I ever went to church visitation, I went to this church. I had just felt like God was calling me to preach. I had never been to an aggressive soul winning church. I went there to, I never even heard of visitation. I went there because my uncle asked me to come. And then my uncle told my preacher, the preacher, he said, my nephew feels like he's called to preach. And so the preacher stood up and said, it's really great to have this young man who's called to preach. Why don't you lead us in prayer? I had no idea what this, I said, okay. Dear Lord Jesus, I don't know how to pray. And then the preacher just picked up and went on. And that was my first introduction to public prayer. A lot of people just don't know how to pray. People don't know what to pray for. I think this is the reason people don't pray, because they don't know what to pray for. What does God want us to pray for? Then people don't know the promises of prayer. I am convinced many people do not know what God promises to those who pray. So we're going to look at that this morning. And then people don't believe that God will answer prayer, or that he will answer their specific prayer. Oh, yeah, God answers your prayer. Yeah, yeah, because you're a preacher. Oh, yeah, yeah, God answers your prayer because you're a good person. God answers your prayer. In fact, would you pray for this? Because you seem like a lot closer to him. You like have an inside track. Could you pray for this? And so people don't think that God is going to answer their prayer, so they don't pray. You see, if a millionaire came to you and said to you, hey, if you need $1 million, just let me know. A multimillionaire came up and he said that, hey, just let me know. You'd be calling him. You'd be calling him because you believe that he, so if he said, I'm going to give that to you, if you believed him, you'd be contacting him. You'd be saying, hey, how you doing? Remember that conversation? Did you say something about a check? You'd be talking to him. I want you to see the promises of God. People don't believe that God will answer prayer, or that he'll not answer their specific prayer. So let's take a look at these. Number one, what is prayer? What is prayer? Years ago, I was watching this commercial. I mean, back in the 60s and 70s. In fact, I went on YouTube a couple days ago to try and find this commercial. But it was one of those man on the street things where people are going on the street and they're interviewing. And they were doing this thing about prayer. Do you pray? And there were all sorts of strange answers. You go up to somebody on the street and say, do you pray? Oh, and I remember one guy saying, well, I really believe that all of us commune within ourselves with a higher being. Another person said, well, yes, I believe in the mystical union between God. And somebody else would say, oh, well, we believe the family of God and the family of man. And we believe that we're all united. And they talked about everything in the world. They talked about meditation. They talked about thanking. And they talked about being happy. And they talked about joy in your heart. And they talked about, but they didn't talk about prayer. What in the world is prayer? Well, the Bible is very clear. The word prayer itself means to ask. Prayer is asking. It is very simple. When Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to ask God for things. It is a very honoring thing for us to go to God, walk into the spiritual realm, and ask God to do something that we cannot do ourselves. God wants us to ask for things. For some reason, it sounds spiritual to say, well, I don't want to always be asking God for things. I think we should just go and thank him and praise him. That's what we need to do. Well, I think we ought to thank him and we ought to praise him. But you need to understand, the only prayer in the Bible that I know of where somebody isn't asking God for something is the prayer of the Pharisee in the temple who went before God And he said, and Jesus is telling him, tells the story. He said, a Pharisee went into the temple, and the Pharisee went before God, and he said, I thank you, God, that I am not like everyone else. They're wicked, they're vile, like this terrible publican, this tax collector over here. He's a pretty wicked, terrible God. But I thank you, God, that I am not like these. And not one request. He didn't ask God for anything. Then you got the poor sinner over here, the tax collector. And he's beating on his chest. And he's saying, oh God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, wicked, vile tax collector went away justified. And the Pharisee went away condemned. The Pharisee didn't pray. He didn't ask God for anything. He thought he had it all together. Prayer is asking. Prayer is asking God to do something for you. That's what prayer is. The leper asked to be healed. The centurion asked for his servant to be healed. The Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked for the mother-in-law to be healed. The friends of the demon-possessed people and the sick people brought their friends and asked Jesus to heal them. The disciples came and said, the sea is raging. Please do something about it. It's always a request. God, do something. When these impossible situations took place, they said, God, Lord Jesus, would you please intervene? We need divine help. That's where God wants us to be. There's something powerful in prayer. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, once we take on the whole armor of God, we're to enter into the battlefield. And he says the battlefield is prayer. You need to understand, when you close your eyes and you pray, when you bow before God and you pray, when you go before God in prayer, you are entering into the spiritual realm. You are entering into battle. There's demons that are watching, there are angels that are watching, and you are walking into the battlefield. That's why God tells us to put on the whole armor of God before we enter into prayer. So we enter into this battlefield. I heard a little poem years ago that has always stuck with me, that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. We enter in. The demons are watching. The angels are watching. God is there. And when we pray, when we're bowed before God, and we begin to ask him for things, they say, hey, that guy believes. That guy, that lady, she believes God enough to ask. God wants us to pray. And he wants us to keep on praying. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. God heard and answered each one of these requests. God wants you to ask. Prayer is asking. You don't have to have fancy words. You don't have to have elaborate words. You don't have to say, oh, thou that doeth the things, you are so wonderful and you are so magnificent and you're beyond whatever. You just need to say, Father, I need your help. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me eternal life. You're wonderful and you can answer prayer. I'm asking you to do something. Prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. You don't have to be all reverent all the time. My wife will say to me, would you pray? Would you pray for the kids? Would you pray for this? Would you pray for that? She's asking me, when there's something going on in our family, she asks me, pray. And you say, what do you do? I just say, Lord, I want to ask you to be with, I've been praying for Faith because Faith has been sick. And I'm talking 3 or 4 or 5 times a day if I'm with my wife. She said, have you prayed for Faith today? Yes, prayed for her. Would you pray for her again? Lord Jesus, I pray for Faith. I pray you'll help her to feel better. I pray for your healing hand. I pray, Father, you'll just take care of every need in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all I have to say. That's it. And if you say, Lord Jesus, you don't even have to say in Jesus' name because you already said Jesus. That's praying in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I pray you'll be with Faith. I pray you'll be with John. I pray you'll help him to take care of Joanna. And I pray, Father, that you'll help Joanna to be calm. That's very simple. I don't have to say a whole lot more than that. It's just asking, asking, Got our lost friend that needs to be saved, pray. Lord Jesus, I pray you'll save Jason. I pray you'll save Jack. I pray you'll save David. I pray. It's very simple, asking. So what is prayer? It's asking. People don't know what prayer is. Well, there it is. It's asking. Number two, how do you pray? How do you pray? Well, Jesus lays that out really simple. And I've preached on Luke chapter 11 several times, but it's the great illustration. I'm not going to take time to go through all of Luke chapter 11. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the disciples had the question, how do you pray? The Bible says it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, teach us to pray. That is, how do you pray? As John also taught his disciples. And here's what Jesus did. Jesus gives them a prayer list. Jesus gave them a prayer list. So here's the first thing. If you want to pray and you want to be successful in prayer, you need to make a prayer list. We're passed out these cards today. You want to see God answer prayer? Make a prayer list. There are things that you want God to do. Then make a list and ask him for them over and over and over and over again. Number one, you just need to have a list. Sumner Wimp used to say, you won't have a prayer life if you don't have a prayer list. And I really believe that. I have a list that I go through every day that I pray. Every day. Yesterday, I prayed through that prayer list. There are men. We have 62 men who are our pastors, vision prayer partners that I pray for every day. You say, what do you pray? I just pray their name. Say, Lord, I pray you'll bless these people. I pray you'll supply their needs. I pray you'll protect them. And then I list their names to God. Well, that's not much. It's a whole lot better than a lot of people are doing. How many people do you pray for every day? The fact of the matter is, God knows. I don't have to come up. In fact, Jesus said it very simply, that a lot of people think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. Oh, they just talk a whole lot. You ever had somebody come up to you and talk about the same thing over and over and over again, and you already knew what they was on their mind? And you just think, I wish the person would just be quiet. I want to watch my movie. I want to see the game. Now look, you go to God and you say, Lord, I have this list of people that I care about, and I'm asking you to be with them. I'm asking you to supply their needs. I'm asking you to take care of them. And when you're praying through the list, as you're praying through that list, there'll be somebody's name that'll pop up, and you'll think about them, and you'll think about what they're saying or what they're going through, and you'll say something special about them. It's just make a prayer list. I pray for my children every day. I pray for my wife every day. I pray for several people in our church that are looking for jobs every day. I pray for preachers every day. I believe the demons hate preachers. And I pray for them every day. Pray. Make a prayer list. Then pray with God's purpose in mind. The whole thing of God's prayer list is all about God's purpose. He tells us to pray that God's name would be holy. That's his purpose. That God's kingdom would come, that people would be saved, that God's will would be done. That is God praying for God's purpose, that God's kingdom would come, that God's will would be done in earth just like it's done in heaven. Give us this day everything we need to do your will. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Lead us not into trials and temptations. Deliver us from satanic attack. That's all according to God's purpose. I'm not here for myself. God isn't looking for you to come and ask him to do something for you. Because he's not interested in your fleshly desires. He's looking for people who are totally sold out to him and that want his purpose and want to fulfill his purpose. Then we can go to God. If you're wanting to fulfill his purpose, you can ask him for anything. You can ask him for anything. We'll see that in just a minute. Pray continually for the same thing. Pray continually for the same thing. Every day. I pray for my children, my grandchildren. I pray for their spouses. I've told you this before, that I was praying for my I was praying for my grandson, Jonathan, one night. And I just naturally pray for him and his wife. Because there's one out there somewhere. If Jesus doesn't come. And there's got to be a wife out there. And he knows who she is. And so I got down with Jonathan. And he's 8 years old. And I said, I said, let me pray for you before you go to bed. Thank you, Grandpa. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to pray for Jonathan. I pray you'll help him to live for you and serve you all of his life. I thank you for his salvation. I pray that his wife will be saved at a young age, and I pray that she'll live. And he said, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa. I said, what? Don't pray that, Grandpa. I said, pray what? I wasn't even thinking. He said, pray what? He said, I'm not getting married. I'm not married. I said, okay. Panicked him right out, freaked him out. But I pray for the same thing. You pray continually, over and over again. I've prayed for, and you say, well, when do you stop praying? You stop praying when you get what you prayed for. You pray until you get what you prayed for. For the last 5 years, May 8th of this year, I will have prayed that God would eliminate the debt on our building for 5 years, every single day. I've prayed that God would eliminate the debt on our building for five. You say, well, why didn't God answer it? I don't know. I know that I'm going to keep asking him. You say, when are you going to stop praying? When we're debt free. Then what are you going to pray for? I'm going to pray that God will give us the money beforehand to pay for our next building, because I don't want to pray for getting out of debt anymore. You say, you believe God will answer prayer? I do. I do. I believe that God could right now, today, give us $1.5 million and it'll totally eliminate the debt. I believe that. And I'm praying that God will. If God chooses to do it that way, I'll be thrilled. If he doesn't, then I'll be thrilled as well. But you say, well, what do you think? Then how come the last 5 years? I'm pretty glad. I'm pretty happy that I got $600,000 over the last 5 years. Can you say amen to that? It's pretty good. I want God to do it my way, but he's not doing it my way. He may. I'm just keep asking him. I remember, listen, when we were looking for a piece of property, we came here, we had no money, we had nothing. We started a church, we were in a school building, then we moved to the warehouse, then we moved to the dance studio, we're in this dance studio. We needed to get a permanent piece of property. So I just started praying, God, you'll just need to give us a piece of property. You just start, and we met there, and we were there for 10 years. About 7 or 8 years into that, I'm meeting with a couple of preachers, and these preachers were sitting at a restaurant called Sambo's Restaurant. How many remember Sambo's Restaurant? Great pancakes. Okay. So went to this, I'm sitting across, and we're sitting in a Sambo's Restaurant down in North Las Vegas. And the preacher said, Tice, how are you ever going to get a piece of property? I mean, prices of property just going up and up and up. How are you ever going to get a piece of property to build a church? And I looked at them and I said, you know what? I'm just praying that God will give us a miracle. We're going to have a miracle from God. We're just going to have it. And those two preachers just smirked at me. Like, you poor little dumb guy. You know, God doesn't work that way anymore. But we prayed. We prayed and we prayed. My wife and I prayed for 10 years that God would give us a piece of property. God gave us a $2 million piece of property for $90,000. That's pretty good. Can you say amen to that? It's a pretty good miracle. We were able to sell the back portion of the property and get $870,000 and build the auditorium. You're sitting in here in answer to prayer. You pray until you get what you want. That's what you do. Kids know that. Daddy, can I have? Daddy, can I have? Daddy, can I have? Daddy, can I have? Daddy. Yes! Just stop bothering me. You can have my whole wallet. Just leave me alone right now. Pray until you get what you want. You just keep on asking. Then let people laugh. You just keep praying. Let people say, you're so... What? Come on. Let them pat you on the head. Let them say whatever they want. You just keep praying. When the miracle comes through, you can look at them and just smile. Don't laugh, because that's arrogance. But just pray. Just pray. You just let people keep laughing, okay? So prayer is asking. And how do you pray? You make a prayer list. You pray for God's purpose. With God's purpose in mind, you pray continually. You pray until you get what you want. And then you let people keep laughing, but you just keep praying. And then number three, here's what to pray for. People say, I really think people don't pray because they don't know what to pray for. So here's what you pray for. Number one, pray for God's will. The Bible says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So, Lord, I want your will in my life. Pray for God's will. Number two, pray for God's power, because God wants you to have power. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. So God wants us to pray for power. And then then once you're in the center of God's will and you're praying and you're really delighting yourself in Him, then you can pray for everything and anything you want. Now, I'm not talking about your flesh. I'm talking about you can pray for everything and anything you want if you're really seeking Him. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 37:4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. The desires you have will be God-given desires. You have a desire to see your friends saved, you can pray for them. You have a desire to see for God's supply so that you can minister in a certain way, then pray for it. You need to pray for your daily needs. Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. God, meet my daily needs. Pray for your daily needs. And then lastly, pray for the salvation of lost souls. Pray for the salvation of lost souls. You should be praying that God, I want to do your will. I want your power to do your will. Father, you put whatever you put on my heart, I'm going to ask you to give it to me so I can do your will. God, I'm asking you to meet my daily needs so that I can do your will. And then God, I'm praying for lost people to get saved because I know it's your will for lost people to get saved. We'll see that clearly in just a few minutes. That's why we have these prayer cards out for you today, because we want to pray with you. We want you to start praying on a daily basis for your lost friends to get saved, even Easter this Sunday, this Easter Sunday. Now, another reason people do not pray is because they don't know the promises of prayer. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you the promises of prayer. You might want to write these verses down, but here are the promises of prayer. You got lost friends that need to be saved? Claim these promises. Here's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. The word ask there is in the continual, and seek is in continual. So it really reads this way. Keep on asking, and it shall be given you. That's the promise. If I keep asking God for $2 million, it will be given to me. Seek, keep on seeking and ye shall find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened unto you. That's promises from God. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a promise from God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. I tell God this all the time. I can think big and I can ask a whole lot. He said he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. In Matthew 21 and verse 22, he says all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You will. This is not a maybe. This is not a sometime. This is you will receive. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence. I love this word. Confidence. Absolute confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. We have them. We just need to ask. Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, you're evil, and you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, has all the resources of heaven, He's your Father, give you good things, or give good things to them that ask Him. Why don't we have the good things? Because obviously we're not asking. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. You just got to believe and you just got to ask. John chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. It's not maybe. Oh, whatsoever you ask in my name, well, maybe, yeah, I'll do it. It's not what he says. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in his Son. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me, That is, you want what I want and you're out to do what I want you to do. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Not a maybe. This is what's going to happen. Hitherto, he says in John chapter 16 and verse 24, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. There is nothing that makes a Christian happier than to ask God for something and to get it and say, wow, look what God did. Look what God did. 1 John 3:22 says, then whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. God says we live for him, we serve him, we're living for his purpose, we're doing his will. We can come and we can ask him for anything. And he says he will do it. He will do it. These are promises. We can believe God. We can ask God. You say, well, you don't understand. I don't do things right. I'm not perfect. God knows you're imperfect. So he says, come and confess your sin and just ask me. Now look. You say, well, I've asked and I've been asking for some time and it just hasn't happened, and so I gave up. Don't. Look, here's the deal. Let me just give you just this little picture. There's a guy that goes to Las Vegas, Nevada. He says, God, help me to start a church. And God, I need some property. God, we want to start a base of operations. And God, we don't have the money for that. And so he starts asking. And 9 years go by, and he keeps asking, and you say, well, why didn't he just give it to you the first year? Because here's the deal. Look, watch this. There's demons in heaven. Say, that guy doesn't believe you. Nobody on earth believes you. Just like in the time of Job, Satan walks around and says, hey, I've been all over the earth. All these people that you created in your image and in your likeness, they're not doing so well. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? He eschews evil. He hates wickedness and he's doing right. Have you considered Job? Satan says, yeah, I've considered Job. You give him everything. He's got everything. So what I'll do, you just let me take away all of his great possessions. Let's see if he keeps praying. God said, okay, go ahead. Job gets down and prays. So Job is praying, and while he's praying, everything he has is taken away. And the demons are watching. He'll deny now. He'll deny now. He'll deny now. He'll deny now. And the demons are watching. And the angels are watching and saying, will he deny? Will he deny? Will he deny? And Job doesn't deny. Satan's mad. And he says, well, look, what about if we inflict his body with pain and misery? You can do anything but kill him. Will he deny? He'll deny now. He'll deny now. And the angels are watching. Will he deny? And he doesn't deny. And God gets glory in heaven. While Job is on center stage, I want you to know this. You keep praying, and you keep praying, and you keep wondering, God, where are you? Where are you? Why isn't it happening? I've been asking, and I've been asking, and I've been asking, and I've been asking. God, I just believe that you're going to hear. I believe you're going to hear. I believe you answered prayer. But I've been sick so long, but I've been hurting so long, and my friend has been hurting for so long. God, I'm just going to keep believing you. I'm just going to keep believing you. I'm just going to keep believing you. God, I believe that you're in control. And the demons of hell are saying, ah, oh, ah. Oh. And the angels in heaven are saying, whoa, God, there's one down there, and they believe you. Hey, there's one down there, and he keeps praying, and he keeps praying. And one day, God says, all right, it's time. And he's proven his faith, and boom, God answers that prayer. That's what the Bible says. He'll answer quickly. God answers prayer. I want you to know, God knows what you're suffering. God knows what you've prayed for. And God knows what you're going through. God knows your hurt. God knows your heart. God knows the friend that you've been praying for to be saved. God knows the sickness that you're enduring. God knows what you're going through. And he wants you to continue to pray. He wants you to just keep on asking. And he wants you to just keep on asking. He wants you to keep on asking because there's a victory as you keep on asking. Can you say amen to that? That's reality. That's where we are. Whatsoever you keep on asking, you will receive of him because he keeps his commandments. Because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight, God will hear and answer prayer. I can remember people, and when God gave us the property, they said, "What? What? What?" I had a friend that was on the grand jury in Las Vegas at the time when we got this property, and he said, "You do not understand the people in power that are talking about this church because of what God has done. They know it is a miracle." You see, when you wait on God and you keep on praying and God does a miracle, he gets all the glory for it. Can you say amen to that? That's where we need to be. You just keep praying. Now, having said all that, I really believe that people don't pray because they just don't believe that God. So let me say this in closing. If you believe these promises, pray. Pray. If you're lost, say, "You don't understand how sinful I've been. You know all the things that I've done wrong. You don't know. I don't, but God does, and God died for your sin. And all you have to do is come to him and say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. You died for me. I know that baptism won't save me. Church membership won't save me. Reading my Bible's not going to save me. The only way I can get saved is if somebody pays for my sin. And I believe, Jesus, you died to pay for my sins. You were buried. You rose from the dead for me. And I'm putting my faith and trust in you to take me to heaven. Jesus, please save me." The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're not saved, pray that Jesus will save you today. And he will. I promise you that. Number two, if you're weak, you say, "Man, I really want to do what God wants me to do, but I'm weak and I'm tired." Jesus said this, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Pray. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need strength. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to give me the ability to do what you want me to do. You know what I'm going through. You know the financial struggles. You know the physical struggles. You know the emotional struggles. You know the temptation that I'm facing. God, I need your strength." Pray for God to give you strength. And then if you have lost friends, people you work with, people that are your neighbors, people that are your relatives, your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors, you can pray for their salvation. You say, "Does God hear the prayers for salvation?" Let me read this verse with me. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "I exhort, therefore," that this is under the inspiration of God. God tells Paul to write to Timothy, a pastor, and he says, "I exhort you, I encourage you, therefore, with the utmost earnestness, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, before anything else, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." You got for kings and for all that are in authority. First of all, for all men to be saved. And then for kings, we ought to criticize and run down and badmouth the leaders, the president, the vice president, the cabinet, the Congress, and the senators. We really do that a lot. He says, pray for them. Pray for their salvation. You really think they'd get saved? Do you? Does God say to pray for their salvation? If he says to pray for their salvation, then we're to pray for them. He won't force them to be saved, but when we're praying for them, his Holy Spirit will convict their hearts of their sin. His Holy Spirit will convict their heart that he's righteous. His Holy Spirit will convict them, their heart, that they're going to answer to him. His Holy Spirit will work in their life and make them see that they need to be saved. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So what am I supposed to pray for? for these leaders and for all men everywhere to be saved. Your friend, your relative, your associate, your neighbor. What are you supposed to pray? You're supposed to be praying that they'll get saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants you to do. Today, I want to ask you to unite with me in prayer for the advancement of God's kingdom, for your friends and for your relatives and for your associates and for your neighbors to get saved. I want to ask you to do that. I want to ask you over the next 30 days as we're looking towards Easter, Resurrection Sunday, to pray with me. There's prayer posters around the church just to remind you of all the different people that are members of our church that are praying. In Psalm chapter 131, verse 1, it says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." There's power in united prayer. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible tells us the first church continued with one accord in prayer and supplications. They prayed together, and the power of God fell. And in one day, 3,000 souls were saved. Could God do that again? God could do anything again, and He will move in answer to prayer. It's just that God's people don't believe Him anymore. And you and I need to be people that believe God. Can you say amen to that? We need to ask God. Acts 4:31 says this about the early church. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." God wants us to pray. If you're lost, you need to pray and get saved. If you're tired and worn out and weak, you need to pray for strength. If you've got a lost friend or loved one, you need to pray that God would save them. Let us pray with you. Let's ask God to do some great things. Let's bow for prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that you